With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode on the Celtic Now and for a podcast. My name is Ryan Clifford. Today I'm joined by two guests, Robert Boyle and Jared O'Connell. Jerry, Robert, how are you doing, lads?
All good.
Well, obviously this episode, lads, is the United game, as we've seen today. Good three points, 3-0 victory, good performances. Just obviously, Jerry, this is your first time on, mate, so just why can I get your thoughts on what's been happening with Celtic recently, mate?
I'll go as far as the last, give me six games. I think every game we're getting stronger and stronger. Obviously, we had that wee blip mid-November, start of December, where we had the Ross County result. We lost losing the goals against AC Milan's and Sparta Prague's weren't great. As I say, the Ross County result, the St Johnstone result, just heaped a lot of pressure on. But since we brought in two players that we spoke about after, Affair before we started there, Sorrow and Tumble, who I think needs a big mention as well. I think we've come on leaps and bounds the last six games, and it's four games now without conceding a goal, which is great considering what happened maybe about 8-9 games ago, where it was going every shot target just seemed to be a goal.
Aye, aye, with Barkas and goals. Obviously, again, he was in the day. What was your first thoughts of the, obviously after the game?
When I seen the lineup, the only player that pulled a change today would have been a goalkeeper, if I'm being honest with you. But I had a couple of wee kind of half saves, but I think the four at the back and the four, they're calling it a diamond, but there's a lot of interchange in there. There's a lot of players that can move about the midfield, and I think obviously Sorrow sitting there just kind of reassures we Callum to go 10 yards up. It's basically Dean Turnbull a free roll, and Christie, basically, he just goes from left to right. He just kind of goes across the midfield. And obviously, the big bonus for me is two up front. Must play two up front on Saturday. Must be two up front for me.
Maybe yourself, Robert.
Aye, very positive, Ryan. As your mate was just saying there, it's four clean sheets in an hour now. Just the team just seems to be growing in confidence. A lot of great play, quicker play. It's just enjoyable to watch for the last three or four games. And we're starting to get our identity back at Celtic, which we've all been screaming out for. And the two boys that have come in, what Cherry says, has been a total breath of fresh air. They just look like they want to play for Celtic as well, which is good to see. Really, really pleasing when the eye. Thought first half were really good, quick moving football. And the two up front's a breath of fresh air as well.
I'd say the first half was, in general, it was basically like we kind of ended last season. It was quick, the intensity and movement. It was kind of like the Celtic we've been watching for the last few years. Again, for me, the United just sat back and kind of, normally we would have been maybe just playing wee tippy-tappy passes and just trying to break them down with a wee bit of magic, but the last two or three games we've been getting a bit more quicker. Again, I don't know if that's because they're getting used to playing with their fans now, and they know they're going to that now, because the start of the first, in general, I think football's getting quicker, even when you watch games, but I think now they're starting to play better. And again, it's no coincidence that Tumbo and Sorrow get in the team and we start playing well, and we don't have any bad injuries, and COVID's no really about us now, so it's no coincidence that we are playing better with A2 in the team. It's very, I don't know what your thoughts. Obviously, we spoke about before we came on, but yourself, Jerry, about I've touched on Sorrow first. His performance, I thought, was superb.
Well, I think as Robert said there about the kind of Canty theme, I think he was doing that road. Jake McFadden says during the week there, he says you don't recognise him playing, which is a positive, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of stuff in the kind of the background. He goes and tackles people, he goes and knocks down the boy, he just goes and breaks it up. He just gives it to McGregor and Christie, who goes and does their own stuff, which I think is really, which is what we're needing. Somebody yeah. just to basically stand there and go, right, how are you getting past me? How are you going to get past me to get to the back four? Whereas before, I think we were a bit erratic. We were on the other shot. But he's just in there and went, right, I'm here. Let's get by me. We'll take it for there. And I think so far, touch any wood, he's done really, really good. And he topped off a good performance today with a great goal. Let's not forget about that. It was a good finish.
Brilliant finish. You know, I think Robert echoes that, and you know, but they can't. He can have style of play.
I says to you that fair that I don't want to big a guy up too much, but he reminds me of a young Canty. He's a smiling wee guy who's an absolute warrior on the park, and I think his reading of the game is very, very good. I think he knows when to take his tackles. He doesn't just go firing into tackles for the sake of it. He reads the game very good, and I think the difference with him and the team is he does just sit in front of the back door, which makes it harder to break down. Whereas when you had Brown and McGregor in there, we were breaking as a team, they two were getting caught further up the park, which was harder for them to defend, which then leaves your midfield wide open. Whereas the wee man just sits there and just patrols it like a wee fucking guide dog. Let's be honest, that's what he's like. And his interceptions and his play is brilliant. What I like about him is he doesn't play the ball backwards and he doesn't play the ball sideways. He always looks to play that ball up the park to get your three guys in front of him on the ball further up the field. The difference with McGregor 10, 15 yards up the field is a breath of fresh air as well. With him, Tumble and Christie all interchanging, as Jerry says. With wee Sorrow just sitting behind them, it's like a whole new team. You'd think we'd made 5, 6 signings, the way these two guys have come in and changed us.
It's just crazy that how they two have been sitting on the bench all season. Obviously, we've all known about Tumble because he's been brought from Motherwell, but they two have been sat on the bench all season when we've been, let's be fair, shit. Hopeless for the last rest of the season. And he's obviously learning, went by old guard, as I call him, the tried and trusted, and he's obviously given another chance next week, another chance. And let's be honest, it might have cost him his job. No point in Tumble and Sorrow for the last few games. That game against Lille, I think, if we get destroyed, I know it's the Celtic, there's no games that mean nothing, but if it's a damn squib that came to Europa League, but if we get annihilated, then it's mere, as Jerry says before. When you lose a game, it's more pressure. So the man's obviously seen the light and he's put the two in. And I don't think, as much as we've spoken with Brown before, but a big admirer of what he's done at Celtic, and he's been a brilliant servant. He's still a very good player for his age, but he has just got, if it is the last 10 minutes, 15 minutes of games, or a game against Hamilton, then for me, play him. But for me, you kind of drop Sorrow and Tumble, especially at, I spoke about Sorrow, but Tumble again for me, Jerry, was brilliant as well.
Tumble of the day, basically, it's hard to explain. In the middle of the park, he stretches the middle of the park. Obviously, you've got guys who can stretch it wide, right? Obviously, we Forresters are probably the best at doing it, right? Coming off with white on his boots because he's on the touchline, right? But we with Tumble, he's basically, you've got, obviously, with the day, the two guys up front, he's basically up their arse. He's there. You're basically, like, so which forces people to go forward, and then before you know it, you're 20 yards from goal, and you've got 3, 4 guys. You include Laxalt and Frimpong, who's balling down the wing. You've got maybe 6 guys now who's 20 yards from goal, whereas before that, it was dead predictable. We're going left, we're going left, right, back, forward. When we get to 20 yards from goal, we've got one guy, Edward, who turns around and goes, I've got to do it all myself, loses the ball, away we go. But now, we've got half a team up the park because the one guy stretches the whole midfield that way instead of going, obviously, wide, which I think has been a big bonus. And obviously, we were trying to sign him last year. Obviously, he had that injury. But before he signed, he scored something like 15 goals for January to June. So the guy knows where the back of the net is. You know what I mean? He knows how to score a goal. Proving he's got 4 goals in 6 games.
I think that is what we're saying. He's always on the half turn and he always wants to play the ball forward.
Aye. His first thought is go forward, which is great. That's what you want as a midfielder.
I think that's something yourself, Robert, you spoke about was getting him in the team earlier. You were a big advocate getting him in earlier and then now he's come in and you've kind of been right for talking about the way you were.
Oh, he emphasises everything which is good about attacking midfielder. He's even keeping Ryan Christie, who's one of the best attacking midfielders in the country, out his position because the boy's playing that well. I just feel he's been a total breath of fresh air. His delivery is outstanding. He's a danger with his crosses. He can score goals and he's setting up goals. There's nothing more you can ask for. You know, it looks like an absolute bargain at $3 million. We just hope the boy continues to develop as good as he's developing. And he seems like a humble boy, you know, which he doesn't look like a guy with good and party and throw it all away. He looks like a guy who wants to improve day in, day out, which I like to see because I don't think you get a lot of that in the younger players nowadays. I think that's the difference with guys like him. They want to improve, they want to get better, and every game he just seems to get better and better. I've watched him. Really, really impressed with him.
I definitely agree with the sense he does look this type of guy. Well, obviously with that knee injury, he came back for that, and obviously that wee documentary they had him, it showed you how hard they work. So I don't think any fan can actually fault what he does behind the scenes because you know he's going to be a professional and then he's got his dream move. So these are the sort of guys that are, you know, they're going to fight for the badge. And for as we've spoken about the hysteria about 10 in a row, he's probably one that he knows what it's all about. Because obviously guys like Barcaster come in, they don't know about 10 in a row. So that's probably why we've been a bit critical on Barcast because he's just come in and we might have been 10 in a row. And let's be honest, I know it's just a league, but to our Celtic fans, it is 10 in a row. So again, Barcast came in today again and he didn't really have much today, so there's nothing really to speak about Barcast. But Sorrell's goal, I thought his goal was superb, as Jerry mentioned. Maybe the goal could have done a bit better, but he can't get away for his strike because he still had the imagination to take it on. I like the fact that he's actually, him and Sorrell was doing a bit of dirty work, but they're actually getting the ball forward and want to shoot. Christie just shoots for the sake of it. I've spoken with Christie before. He's superb, but for me, he's one of the most infuriating players in Scotland. He can hit an absolute diagonal superb. He hits a brilliant 40-yarder free kick, but then he can't hit the ball past the first man. But yourself, Jerry, and Robert, you've played football at a decent level. For me, as a professional football player, you can't hit the ball past the first man. I don't agree with it. I don't think it should be something that's why I think Pumble been in is good for taking the free kicks and corners and stuff like that.
Well, you hit the nail on the head there with Christie, best and future player on the planet. Semi-final in the cup final of the Scottish Cup, obviously for last year. 2 identical goals. Right, but seeing the 2 games, he's probably had about 10 corners where he's not hit it by somebody.
Aye.
He's hit the 20 yarders bang top corner, but he just can't put it at the top. You know, he just couldn't swing it into an area, just into a penalty box, a penalty spot or a 6-yard box. He just hit first man, maybe about 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You're actually spot on there. You see, that's my thought on Christie as well. But he's a guy, can you leave him with the team? That's a big debate. Do you leave him out for especially for Saturday in about the area, that wee yard of space? Does he get you the goal? Does he get you the breakthrough? That's a big debate about him. Is he a guy you can afford to leave out, or do you leave him out, or what's, you know what I mean? That's how he divides the support. You know what I mean?
What's your take on that, Robert, about Christie? Do you think you play him Saturday? And obviously talking about today's game, and he is a bit infuriating in a way.
He can pick a pass out of nothing, Ryan. Right, we all know that. He can score a goal out of nothing. We know that. But the problem is, what we all think is, he can do that, and you go, how can he not do that more often? But again, we've got to remember he's playing out of position. He's playing wide right where he wants to cut into his left. He's normally the guy that's playing in Tumble's position, where he's scored a lot of goals and got a lot of assists. But you can't leave a guy his fucking quality out of the team. What, his energy levels? His energy levels he'll bring to the game on Saturday was lacking in the last game that we didn't have him. So I think our midfield now has got all the energy what we need for this game, to be tracking left-backs, to be tracking right-backs, to be getting in their three in the middle of the park. So you can't leave him out of the game, because he could be quiet for 89 minutes, as Jerry says, and then pick one into 25 yards out right into the top corner, and you turn and go, ah, that's the type of player you want on the park. You know what I mean? So in that sense, we all know he can be a fury and he can be whatever, but again, he can pull a bit of magic out of nothing.
Aye, definitely. I'll leave behind Jerry, but the same there. Definitely, because as I've seen for Scotland, I think that was probably one of the most infuriating things for me, was when we're going through a wee sticky patch. Well, it was a long sticky fucking patch. But you had him playing for Scotland and he was superb. It was a total different guy. Him and McGregor were fucking playing the ball forward and I was like, ah. I says, but again, it's different environments and different managers, different whatever else. I think the day, as a lot of going to, obviously, the goals, Soros' goal was amazing. Tumbo again, we spoke about him, shoot, brilliant finish. And then Edouard, I thought that ball for Griffiths was superb. And again, it's
world class. Unbelievable.
And again, as me and Robert probably spoke about, as you've listened before, Jerry, I don't think, see when we score a goal, a goal like that, it never gets highlighted in the media. Never gets highlighted, oh, Griffiths, what a goal. But if I know for a fact, see if that's fucking roof to Morelos, it's back page headlines.
It's the best. It's fucking gone for that fucking podcast fucking award, didn't it? I mean, that's what it's gone for. But you're right. Lee Griffiths had about a tenth for a second for him. He was there, looking down at the ball, and he knew if I scoot back perfectly, it's just going to fall by one touch goal. And the first thing that's what I noticed today. The first thing Edward did was turn around and look at Griffiths, went, as if to say, yep, you knew where I was, which for Saturday is a big bonus for me. As I keep saying, they two must. See if Celtic play eight duds behind them, they two must play up front. Must for Saturday.
I think Robert's the same as that, and you, Robert, with the two up front.
100%, Ryan. There you go. Against Hamilton, Edward sets up Griffiths for his goal. The day Griffiths sets up Edward for his goal. Their partnership last season was one of the best in Britain. They started linking up. The only thing that stoked it was COVID, really, because I think we were going to Ibrox to beat them last season. They were in turmoil last season. When they turn around and tell you COVID's won us nine in a row, no, fucking COVID stoked them for getting Gerrard sacked last season. Griffiths and Edward were in fire, right? You seen it against Motherwell away, all right, we had a wee tiny block at Livingston. Their last three games was knocked two of Hearts out of the Scottish Cup, beat half Hearts at Tynecastle and beat at home half Hamlin, but all of a sudden that team were going to go on a miraculous run and beat us and win the fucking league. Let's not forget that. You know what I mean? I don't think anybody really talks about that. Anytime I'm arguing with one of them, I bring that up and they can't take it. So I think we're hitting a wee good run of form now to go there, and I don't think we should be fearful of them. I really don't. Maybe 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I was thinking, shit, what are we going to do here? But the more I'm watching Celtic, the more confidence is going. The more we've no players getting injured. Well, we've got a couple of injuries, but no compared to what we had the last time and the crisis we were in the last time. We're going there in a good run of form. I don't see why we should fear them, to be honest with you, on Saturday.
I agree with you there when it comes to but they all say we gave the title. Listen, was it 13 points or something over the head or something like that, right? Even if he did get beat, you were still 10 points. And the way we were playing, I'd have probably took a draw. Let's be honest, I would take a draw if it was any day, but see, as long as we don't lose the game, I'm always happy. Obviously, you want to win the game, but you know why you beat. But we were, last season, we were running 3-4-0 every game. As we spoke about, Edouard and Griffiths, they were scoring all the time. And it's no coincidence again, man. Listen, I still think Griffiths looks a wee bit, he could do a bit more fitness, right? But that's just my opinion. I might be too critical, I don't know. But with they two up front, there's no coincidence that we're actually scoring goals again and we're playing well, and everybody else is playing well. But the defence, oh, I'll speak about it about the second half, we still look a wee tiny bit suspect, but I don't mind conceding two goals if I'm scoring three and four goals every week, as long as we win the game. For me, they two are brilliant. As Jerry says, they always look for each other. I noticed it from the first 5 minutes. He was always trying to flick it around the corner, which I think, like yourself, Jerry, you played up front. When you know you played him, you know his game, and that's the first guy you look for to get you a goal or assist.
Well, as we're going back on the two strikers, I don't know if you noticed with the Hamilton game a couple of days ago, 15 goals, pardon me, in 9 games between them, but the two of them started together. So that's now 10 games, 16 goals. Either one of them scored, but the two of them played together. And as you say, the other day, Edwards always likes to be flick left or right, and he just likes to find Griffiths all the time. Because he knows Griffiths has got the quality to give it back, whether it be outside the box, shot, or the Griffiths is at the edge of the box, he can have a shot or whatever. The two of them are suit. And obviously, fitness, as you've said, with Griffiths and Edward no being injured and the COVID and all that, the last game, I believe even if Edward started the last game, we still might have got beat, right? But we'd have put up better a fight. We'd need Christie because of Scotland. We started with Clamall up front. I mean, when would you ever start it with Clamall up front? He's not even going to get anywhere near the squad this time. So that just shows you how far we've got with Griffiths and Edward together. But as I said, the way the two of them played today, they were no more than about 8 or 9 yards apart from each other. They just bounced that, and it was actually a joy to watch. It was a joy to watch. Very, very good.
I think Robert will just, I think he'll say the same, because the two up front, we've been speaking about it for, I've been talking about it since I played football. Two up front for me is going to be the way forward. New yourself, the two of you have played football. You only play one man up front, you maybe got to tap the league, or you're going to a game, a Scottish Cup game, you know it's a tight game. You don't go to two up front against the one man up front against Ross County, fucking Hibs. Even Rangers, you just go two up front in Scotland.
We've already spoke about that, Ryan. Old-fashioned 4-4-2 I loved, because I just thought it was always a great balance to a team if you've got the right players. Obviously, we're not going a 4-4-2 this time. It's like a 4-diamond-2. But having the two up front, I think defenders get it an easy time now. No easy time, but playing against one guy, two centre-halves, they're too used to playing against one guy nowadays, I think. And I think just with two up front, it gives them more troubles, more backlines. If you remember Leicester, when they won the league, they went an old-fashioned 4-4-2. And the teams in the Premier League didn't know what to do. Couldn't cope with it. Just because it was back to the old traditional way, because too many teams play a 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3, 4-3-2-1, whatever. But I think their backline, you'll trouble them this time, whereas we didn't get to do that the last time at Celtic Park. And I don't think their defence is any special. I think with Edward and Griffiths up front, we'll actually trouble them this time. So I think that's the difference as well. And you're talking on Griffiths saying he's no fit, Ryan. Aye, we know he's no fit, but the only way he's going to get fit is with playing games. And in his full Celtic career, he's assisted or scored a goal every 82 minutes. To me, that's phenomenal stats.
Aye.
You know what I mean? So,
Edward's running about the 92 mark as well.
What you're seeing there, he's about 92 mark, which is unbelievable as well. That's, aye. I mean, aye. Defence trouble. Aye. 100%. I was listening to the phone, I was listening to the radio, just to see what Eddie's talking on it, but a guy phoned in and he was a Celtic fan. I can't mind exactly what he says, but he did say, listen guys, he's a right Celtic half. He says, listen, got to remember, we're the champions. He says, we've won the trophies, we're the winning mentality. He says, the last game, he says, we were in a bit of a crisis. The manager's under pressure. COVID stopped a lot of players. Scotland, injuries, Barcast, came in, Duffin, no known what the games are like. He says, no. He says, we're a bit more oiled, better playing. We've got a bit more system about us. Sorrow and Tumbler come in, so they're not, it'll be a totally different team in my opinion that's got to turn up. Again, we'll talk about it again fully on our podcast on Friday about it, the game, but for me, I'm always quite confident with Celtic. I actually prefer playing at Ibrox and Date Park Heed. I've always been like that. I don't know why that is. I just prefer playing at Ibrox. I just think there's less pressure playing at Ibrox than it is at Park Heed. But obviously, there's no fans, so it's really the same for both of them.
I'll say, Joe, that even though playing at Ibrox, I prefer playing away as a Celtic team. I just feel as if we get better results away from him. I don't know if it's just Park Heed. Well, obviously, you know, got the 60,000 fans there, the new, but I generally think I'm quietly confident going to Ibrox on Saturday and getting a result, a very positive result, because the 4-4-2s we're talking about, as Robert was talking about, their defence is very great. The world beater at right back, I don't think will influence the game if you play 4-4-2. The best player in Scottish football, you don't know who we're talking about. He'll even get his own in their half. You know what I mean? That's how I think, because I just feel as if you need to go there and you go to us, right? Everybody play 10 yards up the park than what you should have. Let's just take the game to the aim. Let's just see what happens. And I believe we'll get a positive result. 1,000,000%.
Hey, mate, Robert, yourself, say about that. Do you agree with what Jerry's saying there?
I have mirrored that. Aye, Jerry, everything you're saying is Rangers are used to teams sitting in and smothering them in their own half.
Aye.
Like, Rangers high press you. But I believe with Sorrow and Tumbo and that in the team, these guys are confident to take the ball in tight situations and turn and get the ball moving. I watched Hibs against them at the weekend, and the boy Joe Newell took the ball 3 or 4 times in the middle of the park against the high press, took it and turned. And see when they turn and get by the high press, they opened them up a few times. The only thing is, the final ball wasn't great. If they had the final ball, Hibs could have beat them. You know what I mean? There was a couple of dodgy penalty decisions against them. But they're not as good as people make it. They're good if you sit in and let them play. That's the type of team they are. But if we go out and play our game in high press aim, and we've done the day, we didn't let Dundee United out their own half, did we? The high press them in their faces, and everybody was doing it as a unit, rather than individuals, what we've been doing. I just feel I'm quietly confident that we should go there and get a result.
Because I agree with you in the sense of the high pressing. Obviously, I spoke to Jerry, and actually yourself, individually, before this morning about Jerry Frimpong. He does my boxing, man. He wins, and he's brilliant, but as Jerry said, he's a young Diddy Agat. He's no end product. It's like he's just hitting and hoping he gets the ball in the box. But see, when they get past that guy Robson today, that was him the full game. And he's got to just keep doing that, because he's not doing that enough for me. As much as I'm saying his product's not the best, eventually if he just hits a ball, it's going to fall to somebody. It might get a ricochet off somebody, but for me, the day, he was superb. Just he annihilated that fullback. The guy just didn't want to be in the game. Once you beat him once, that was it. And I think you've got to do that again on Saturday, after he plays, that is, which I think he will. But you've got to just get at their fullbacks, because let's be honest, Barish is a good defender, right? We know that. He's all right defensively, but he's brilliant going forward. But if he's got the ball all the time facing him, can he get forward? And as you spoke about the best right back in fucking the world, Tavernier, penalty man, we all know he cannot defend. They can say he's playing well. He's playing well because he's not getting nullified. And I think with the way we're starting to get a bit, obviously the first half of me was superb, but the second half, I don't want to be too critical, it was a bit more slow, but the game was won, so you just take that into consideration. There's a few wee sloppy errors, but listen, we won the game, so we just go for there. I think when it comes to Ibrox, Frimpong might be Sir James Forrest outlet. If he just keeps going at Barisic's, I think you'll be, it's definitely going to hamper what they're going to do.
Yep, 100%. The big thing is you see, the kind of James Forrest effect. Frimpong will be the, if your midfielder gets the ball, who does he look for? Is it me, Frimpong? Maybe at the halfway line, can he get that ball maybe up the park for a shy, maybe 15 yards from the byline, get us a corner, a foul, or as you say, he's got round the boy, putting that boy Barisic and just whip a world in and Big Edwards had to tap it in. That's all good and saying it, but he will just keep going. Even if he loses the ball about 10 times, he'll just keep going and he'll keep going and he'll keep going, which is obviously going to be, if you're a defender, you're going to say, fuck, here he comes again. That's what you want. That's what you want a defender to say, fuck, here he comes with the ball running at you 100 miles an hour, which I think is fucking, is a very, very good, it's actually a good outlet in 4-4-2, because you shouldn't have an outlet in 4-4-2. But I think we will have it because he sort of plays, he kind of shoves up as a, makes it a kind of 3-5-2, if you get me. He just plays higher than, like, obviously, if Taylor or Laxalt, whoever plays at left back. Personally, I think it'll be Laxalt will play left back, but he kind of shoves up a wee bit higher, so he'll be the outlet ball. And I think, believe it or not, they're defensively weaker on the left than they're on the right. Because the whoever is it, that fucking Hadji or something that plays right, he kind of defends. But the left-sided player doesn't defend as much as the right-sided midfielder, as whoever the fuck they play, a 4-3-3, whatever the fuck they play. So I think that's where we should go on it. Frimpong could be the outlet on Saturday, definitely.
I was talking to you in all Robert about him, and you came out and said he's a very good wee player, and even as even said to you long term, I think he will be another guy that's going to go for 10, 15, whatever million, because he's definitely got that in him.
As you were saying to me, Ryan, you were saying, he's not got a final ball, he's not got a final ball. If he had a final ball, he wouldn't be with us, let's be honest. He'd be too good for us. He had a wee dip in form there, but you've got to remember the full team had a dip in form. To me, he looks like a wee guy that's getting his confidence back, and on his day, he just goes by people as Jerry says, he's like a diddy I got. Joy to watch. He's crossing is not the greatest at times, but he is only 20 years of age and he is predominantly a right back, being turned into an attacking wing back. So you've got to kind of be patient with young boys in that sense, but to me, he's a breath of fresh air just because he's got that burning pace that nobody likes. I don't care how good a defender, you hate playing against pace. And if, as Jerry says, you might only get by Barisic twice out of 12 duels, but you might get by him there twice and they two might be set up goals. But Barisic will not want to be playing against him with pace. He'll just hate it. He'll hate it. And the boy might get the joy twice out of the full 12 duels room, but they two might be the most key things in the game that's wins you the game. So to me, wee Frimpong is, he had his bad spell, but the full team is having a bad spell, so you can't expect a young boy to be a fucking shining light in a bad fucking team. So he's starting to get his confidence back, and to me, I thought he had another cracking game tonight.
I just think, in general, see, because they've obviously had it's been a sticky patch, it was a fucking really bad spell. We've kind of, we're slowly, every game now, I know we were all saying get Lenny sack now, but see now, we just need to back the team now. I think we'd all have that opinion now. Aye, we might not want the manager, we might not want the board here, but we need to deal with it now and just crack on, because we know he's going to be here now. So for me, every game has been a stepping stone now. After the game in Europe against Lille, it's just been a slow way. We're still making me mistakes, but listen, we're still winning games. Again, we're getting clean sheets a wee bit now, we're scoring goals. We've also won the treble, which again, I don't care what anybody says, how bad the league form is, it's been winning yourself, Jerry. You've won a lot about it yourself, Robert. You're playing cups yourself. Winning trophies is better than 3 points. It's one of the best things you ever get, is winning a trophy. So for me, the guys winning that trophy, it's probably came at a brilliant time for us, because it's a distraction for the league. And it's also giving you a bit of a break for the fans and all, and the pressure that every minute we've won a trophy and it's time to kick on.
Well, she'd gone back to the treble there. But obviously, certain fans for a certain team slaughter me and work. He's a this, he's a that, through a bad time, blah, 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 blah. He says, well, look, we can't be that bad. We're 90 minutes away from winning a quadruple treble here. We'll get four trebles in a row. I say, he's lucky he's going to win one. Sure as God, St Martin fucking turned the mayor. Which, watching that result today, I wish it was all the way about. Wish they were getting fucking in the league. Right, but that's none. We can bend that. But I'm saying, even 2-0 up, cruising, 2 each, I'm saying myself. Extra time, I still believe. 3-2, 3 each. God's sake, did it the hard way. And as soon as God said it, done it the hard way. And I had every faith penalties were going to go the way it did, and it did. But to win even a treble, a trophy, it doesn't matter if it's a League Cup, Scottish Cup, League. It doesn't matter if you're playing in fucking India or fucking Malaysia or fucking whatever. It's a hard thing to do, win a trophy. And these players will go away. Like, look at Big Duffy. He's probably won a trophy in his life, and he'll walk away and go, I won a Scottish Cup medal. I mean, he'll take that away and say, I want it. Who do you want it with? Celtic in a quadruple treble winning season. I mean, there's stuff you can't take away from people. I mean,
aye, definitely. I'm a big believer of that, mate. Trophies, and that's obviously, I'm just a base of still playing football now, but that's what you play football for. Obviously, guys, like I said, you still take the football serious. So, for me, trophies was all, I was what you trained for. It was to win Scottish Cups and League Cup. Even we did the Cups, like the League Cup, if it is the League Cup, the CIS Cup, whatever it's called now, the Betfred Cup. It's for me, it's a pinnacle of where your football players, doesn't matter what any level you play it. So, it'll give these guys a boost again for me for the rest of the season. And obviously, the team are, well, I say, the water. The first sent you a trophy, which well, everybody was bumping their gums about when we got out. Obviously, yourself, Robert, we were spoke about it, how the mentality, again, if we beat them, for me, the momentum swings right to us because we have got the edge. The now is the winning mentality.
Aye, Ryan, see, as you're saying, getting back to the quadruple table, I think that was a lot of pressure on the players, and the full fact it was for last season, it's probably been a distraction to them in many ways. So to get that trophy might have gave them the hunger and the desire now that's pushing them on now to go
four clean sheets.
Aye, a turning point, exactly, Jerry. Clean sheets, 4 cracking results. Everybody's fit now. The team's actually playing as a team and we're now just kicking on. Sometimes it can just be something like that changes your season. And I'm not saying that's what is changing our season, but we're taking steps in the right direction now. And I think it's gave everybody a boost at the club, the fans, because we can't get to the stadium, obviously, can't get to the games. The board's probably going, fuck, because it's taken a bit of pressure off them. And probably took a bit of pressure off Lennon, I know. So, in that sense, it's been a blessing in disguise that we've actually got to win. I don't give a fuck how we won it. We won it, so it'll never be remembered, oh, we won it in penalties. We fucking won it, so it doesn't really matter. And it gives a successful team breeds on success. So winning that might just kick everybody on to do what we need to do in this season.
Aye, success is a big thing in football. You yourself, Jerry, you played, Robert, you played football. You play to win games, you play to win trophies. And listen, as much as we've been I was criticising Brown this year because he obviously, we've got to take in his age, but he wasn't really playing well. Why was Lennon playing him? Lennon, basically, saying to Lennon, myself, Lennon's clueless, right? But take away what's been happening in the league, what the guys have done for the last 4 or 5 years, what we've been watching, it's been phenomenal. And it's stuff that our generation have not really seen, because they've seen 9 in a row when we were all tops, do you know what I mean? So, for me, it's amazing, and no matter what anybody says in the radio, as well, I mean, what I spoke about, the pundits, the radio, the papers, whatever you want, there is always Celtic, I've not done much, here. I don't think we get enough credit for what we have done in the last few years. So I think if we do, hopefully go and win again on Saturday, then we have to go, fuck, they are still the top dogs, they are still,
aye. Do you know why that is? Because everybody's hating the amount of success that we've had. That's the full fact. Nobody's liked how much successful Celtic has been over the last 4 or 5 years. Because if you remember right, when they were coming up for the fucking championship and they knocked us out the cup under Ronnie Dyer, they thought it was just a given they were coming up there to run amok and win all the trophies again. And they've spent fucking astronomical amount of money to try and even matches, and they've still not done it up to now. So that's why the full reason is the papers don't want that, because most of them are fucking tartan buns, aren't they? Let's be honest. So they're not going to give you the praise that you deserve.
You see, we were talking about, obviously, after that game, obviously, we didn't get Rodgers, right? I can remember the season they came up. I can remember even me and my dad still laugh about it to this day. On Super Scoreboard, they write, obviously, the who's going to win the Cups and the Leagues, blah, blah, blah. And at the time, David Johnson, that was all on it. Bear in mind, Rangers just come up for the Championship and we just go Brendan Rodgers. They all tip basically Rangers to win the league. And why are you... What makes you think they're going to win the league? I generally couldn't... But I know I don't want to take you back to the past, but we're on a subject that's... I couldn't believe they were all saying that they're going to come up and win the league. We've just got one of the best British managers in fucking European football.
Brian, the pundits on Clyde One are still like that because Dr. Evil, Alec Gray, says this Rangers team are better than the Invincibles that we had 3 years ago.
Oh my God.
He stands by it. Even though they beat St. Mirren, he stands by it. This team are better than our Invincibles.
That's even though they went 69 games unbeaten.
That's a fact. Exactly. That's a fact. So that's who the special. You know who the worst is? Bidey. Is it called Big Chris Boyd? He's a donkey. He's a donkey and all.
He just wants.
He's got the blue glasses on. You know what I mean?
They've been hurting that room, but haven't they? They're desperate.
Alec Gray actually said this on the top scoreboard. This team is better than the Invincibles that we had 3 years ago. Who went, as you
see, Robert,
69 games unbeaten.
see, even just him saying that, right, as much as Alex Hughes is a good football player, right, but his pundit views, I know he's got to have his Rangers hat on, right, but as a pundit, Derek Johnson, I used to hate Derek Johnson on Scobo because when Rangers went through our bad parts with McCoy's, I kind of slagged my pal. Wait a minute, your pie's a pundit, you're not pie's a Rangers fan. So for him to come on, I've not heard that. I've not seen that. I wish I had because I'd have laughed. My phone. So guys like Dembele, Sinclair, fuck it. Is Ryan Kent and Hadji better than they two? You turn me on.
Hello.
It's because I think I wrote a tweet about it a few weeks ago. No, it was last week because Sinclair was playing for press and I was kind of listen. For me, I thought Sinclair could have still stayed in a job, but obviously when Lewis Morgan, blah, 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 it's done right. But I've never seen somebody have a bigger impact than him what an impact that boy had when he came in, the goals and his, how can he say that none of their players would get in the Invincible team, in my opinion. Not one.
Ryan, his debut at Tynecastle. 2-1, nicked it in the back post. That just kind of started. That just summed his career up. He just scored, as you say, scored a goal, created a goal. He scored in cup finals, and he scored against Rangers. He's basically walked in for Celtic. I was there for 3 years and won 9 trophies. So he goes like that. I've done what I've done. I can't do any more. He probably thought he had another year in him, but as you say, it's him and Lennon. We don't know what happened to him. They were tough, did they know? But I think it was a great servant for Celtic.
Because obviously, I don't know if you agree with me, Robert, but obviously you've got to beat who you're playing against. Rangers by their own default money situation, their own fault. Having seen before they've been done, and they've come back through the division. It's fair play to them, and then they come up and listen. We've got to beat who we had to beat. It doesn't matter how bad they were. What we've done is, that's incredible. So for that comment, for Alex Ray to say that, it's a bit...
I'll try and get it coffee for you to hear it. Honestly, he thinks they're a better team than the Invincibles that we had 3 years ago.
Can you make all that, Robert?
I'm just going to laugh at it, Ryan. That same team, the Invincibles team, got to the Champions League, you know what I mean? We got to the group stages of the Champions League as well, which is a mean feat nowadays. But as you say, it's blue tinted glasses for them, isn't it? We just need to, as a club, put them back in their place. Go out on Saturday, even if you just don't get beaten Saturday, it's as simple as that. If you draw, aye, we can move on for that. We can build momentum because they've got a few hard games coming up. And let's be honest, they're one of the jammiest concepts ever. They're lucky to get any injuries there a season. They've had one COVID case, which is on the big centre half, the big fucking Swedish
big
boy.
Big fucking one punch, fucking Edmund. Aye. Where the fuck he's called?
They're the only club in Scotland that's using a private firm to do their COVID test. To me, that just doesn't make sense. Everybody else is using the NHS. So how can they get allowed to do that?
I seen that. I don't know if it was you, Tom, or I seen a tweet about it, but I was just, I couldn't believe that. Because let's be honest, if it's the SFA should be doing every, if it's for the pyramid system or if it's whatever, it should be the same. It should surely be the same company.
It's got an SPFL delegate or something.
I just thought that was a, not saying they're cheating in any way because they're used to doing the cheating shite before, but it's still laughing at it going, how can they be the only team in Scotland that uses a different method of COVID testing? It just baffles me. But anyway, you don't want to go too much into their shape, but how good Celtic are and everything else.
Because as you were saying, obviously, only go.
I just want to tell you a few stats I seen on Wee Sorrow tonight, right? Played 80 minutes of football, one goal, one assist, two key passes, 68 out of 71 passes completed of a 96% rate, two dribbles, one, five duels won, and 11 ball recoveries, and a 3-0 win. For me, these stats are absolutely frightening. I know it's only one game, but it's just a positive for the wee guy, how he's come in and done so well.
The one I take for that, Robert, see the ball recovery, was that 11 you said there?
11, mate, aye.
That's what you're missing. That's the key for me, just getting the ball back and transfer it into, just say a Dundee United attack to a Celtic attack. Just be there all the time. Just say, look, my ball, away we go. That's the biggest one for me, definitely. Missing it.
Aye. We've missed it, as you say. Maybe we might have still been in the League Cup or the Europa League if these guys had come into the team 3-4 weeks before then.
Aye. Well, it's very, when it comes to that, I agree with you. As you already say, in football, if that's your stats of one game, it does matter who it's against, if it's Hamilton, Ross County, Dundee United, because I like the wee thing of the Hartson and the Boyd. Did you see it during the weekend there? I don't know if you've seen it on Twitter. Basically, Hartson says Celtic won 3-0, convincing victory, clean sheet. You're a bit of momentum, blah, blah, blah. And Chris Boyd says, aye, but you've kept clean sheets against Fermanagh and Ross County. And they've only scored 15 goals or whatever it is all season. And he says, aye, we get 8 against Hamilton. And Hartson went, aye, boy, it's only Hamilton, but. And boy, just, boy, shut up. He shut up and he just went, all right. And I've had brilliant, but it's true, it doesn't matter who you're playing against, we're all playing against the same teams. We all know that we should be keeping clean sheets and most of the game. No, but as I say, you've no divine right to keep clean sheets and win football, but the way we've been spoiled in a way, which we're not spoiled in a way, we should be having clean sheets most weeks, so obviously maybe no game, maybe against Rangers, blah, blah, blah. But I just think it's encouraging now that we're getting guys that sort of win, and we are keeping the ball a bit better. We're not as reckless as we have been. As we've spoken about Brown, it's no his fault now that he's getting older, and it's down to the manager and the staff and the board, whatever, to manage him now. If it is play one game every two or three weeks, then so be it, because for me, obviously the rest of the season, things can happen with COVID, injuries, blah, blah, blah. But for me, they too have got to be your midfielders, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm not trying to make a compromise, a comparison here with us in Barcelona, right? But hear me out. See your midfield, it's like theirs in the 06, 07, 08, Xavi and Iniesta and all them, right? Mm-hmm. Eventually, it's going to stop. That's what us knew.
Aye, no, I get you.
We get a new, it's like, they've done that. They've got us to so many cups and blah, blah, blah. They've won us so many games. But now, they're getting old. So who do we go with now? That's what basically Barcelona done about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying we are Barcelona, but I'm saying it's like that with me. It's like, we've got so much talent. maybe 5 years ago, and then you look at them now, they're going, fuck me, I'm getting old. So who do we bring in? It's like Tumbo, Sorrow, Christie, as Robert said, he's put it in a position, but he's still fucking buzzing about, which is positive. You've got guys like Ellen Ushu, who cost £16 million, no spoke about, can I get in the fucking team today? Rogic came on, who can I get in the team? You know what I mean? You've got two guys up front who are fucking firing all cylinders. So, we can't be doing it. We're not that bad. I mean...
It's a cycle of teams. And Bruin's part of the cycle.
Yep.
As much as we want him to last another 10 years, it's game management now.
Yep.
And he's been the most successful captain since Bobby McNeil. So...
Yep.
And he's been a breath of fresh air to Celtic. For £4.5 million for the service he's gave us has been absolutely amazing. And I just hope that when he does go time to retire, that he gets a coaching role, because he's done a lot of stuff with the youth teams. And I think he'd be a big influence on boys coming through at Celtic, because he loves and breathes Celtic now. So to me, the cycles this season should have happened sooner with him in the team. But I suppose with Lennon, knowing how much a legend he is, it's been hard to kind of drop him out of the team, you know what I mean? It's been very hard, because when we were on the point where I think he was looking for Bruin's influence on the park, even just talking guys through the game.
You just don't get the legs to do it anywhere.
That's it. You can't cover the ground as much. You can't take 2 or 3 games a week. It's all about game management, and I just hope...
100%.
It's just we Sorrell's probably 5-10 yards quicker. The grunting in him, and so he was just sitting there, whereas Bruin and McGregor was kind of disjointed. They've been great together for years, but to me, when they were in Europe, they were kind of breaking as a unit, but they weren't getting back as quick, whereas McGregor seems to have a wee bit more freedom, but he didn't have to cover Bruin's arse now. He's got Sorrell behind him that can cover his arse, and it gives him the freedom, because we know McGregor's better 5, 10, 15 yards further up the park. He can influence a game better.
Yeah,
that's the difference.
Yeah, and with wee McGregor now, he can play his own game, he can go and do his own stuff, pass the ball straight to left, to right, gate to Tumble, who's another 20 yards up, whereas, as you say, Robert, there, he's too busy. I thought it was Brown doing, and they need to track him back, they need to get back in position. Now he's basically, McGregor's in a free role in the middle of the park. He just does his own stuff, which obviously we reap the benefits of it. And I think Ray McGregor, he does that with Scotland. He gets a free role with Scotland, because he's got McTominay and that boy plays with that ball, but Jack. So they sit and he does his own. That's how they're reaping the benefits with Scotland, which I think Sorrow will basically be, as you say, fucking breath of fresh air for Celtic, honest to God.
Because as you say about Ellen Hussein, we're not going to team. I'm a big, I do like Ellen Hussein, but as you say, with guys like Rogic, even when Rogic came on today, you see what he brings, man. He's wee touches, he's half turns, it's brilliant. Again, but we're starting to go the way where I like the way Will Rogers was. When the first 11 was looking solid, and then you looked at your fucking bench and you had, wait a minute here, you've got Rogic. As you say, Ellen Hussein is worth 16 fucking whatever million. You've got your £5 striker who I still think he'll come good. Obviously, you can't really play with the two up front of the roof because you can't draft him. So you've got your £5 million fucking striker on the bench. You've got your young up-and-come winger with Johnson still on the bench. You've got your reliable, semi-decent left-back Taylor. You're looking at your bench and you're thinking, right, we've got guys to change the game now. And because so we're starting to have a better form, and I always say when Rodgers was here, you looked at the team, you're like, brilliant. And you looked at the bench, you had Edward on the bench, it's getting to that way again where the way Rangers, as much as we don't want to talk about them, they've been bringing guys in and they've been just doing the same job. And I think that's what we're starting to maybe get now, or maybe getting to that stage where instead of Lennon, it was just, for me, when we were going through a wee bad spell, it was just putting guys on the park. But I think now he's like the day, then he bring on the first sub to maybe 72 minutes.
But when all this was happening, he was playing only 55 minutes. I'm like, what are you doing?
Aye, but it was a left back for a left back. You'll see yourself, what did you say? Just a sub to make a sub. It was influencing the game or whatever, but today it was who was the first sub? Was it Christie? No, Christie came off for Elanusi. No,
mm-hmm. It was obviously him came on, didn't he? Beaton came on for Julian.
Aye, but Griffiths came off after he made the pass. So
are you in Rogic for that?
Aye, for Griffiths and Jumbo. Aye.
So it's brilliant. I don't think you're right as well, Rob, but it's brilliant that we've got the options again and you've got the players. Obviously, I was a big at Madden and Chan, but for me, I think he's maybe going to go into the season or January, but he's obviously not getting a sniff anymore. But if you guys, maybe the team like Rogic, your Johnsons that are actually, you know they're going to come on and give you at least 25 minutes of a good performance, especially for this game coming up Saturday.
I think that's the difference now, Ryan. You've got your squad back, you've got players getting back to fitness, that you've got options. So maybe players that weren't playing well didn't really need to perform as such because they knew they were in the team the next week because we had COVID issues, we had injuries. But now we're playing well, and if they don't play well, there's players there to come in and play. That was the difference that we didn't have early on in the season, and I think that's just been a breath of fresh air as well. But as you're speaking about Ncham, I spoke to people on him and meant to be in training. He's absolutely outstanding. They can get near him. The ball's stuck to his feet. But for me, Ncham is a bit of an enigma, man. He plays one good game and then he goes missing for five games. And he's been that way his full career. I read about him before he came to Celtic. I think he was with Genoa in Italy. And the reporter says, you've got a player in your hands if you can get him to perform week in, week out. But it's trying to get him to perform week in, week out because he's one good game, four bad games. And I think that's the guy's careers. He's what, 24, 23, 24 now. If he doesn't buckle down and probably get his ideas right, he could just be a player that's just one of the guys that turns into being that's his full career. Because we all know how talented he can be, but he just doesn't do it on a regular basis for me.
See, I think the best we go out of him was when Rodgers was here. It kind of haunts me myself that I wish we kept Edouard and Ncham Dembele for at least together for one season. You see that pre-season before Dembele got sold? The football they three were playing was brilliant. You can see he was going to a different level. Again, is it because maybe his pal is away and he's just went, okay, I don't feel confident anymore? But I don't know. I've been a big, as people on Twitter will know, my Twitter, I've been a big Jaimeer Ncham, but I can't stick up for him anymore because obviously I know he's had a few injuries the last few weeks. I don't know. Is it injuries? Or has he just been bombed out the squad? We don't know. But again, would it surprise me if winning played him Saturday? No, because the way it's been all season. But I think that's out of the question. It might go on the bench, but I think the charm thing for me is, as you say, is on his day. I think one of these days the best midfielder in Scotland. I think he's fucking unbelievable. His range of passing, his passing diagonals, it's just superb. But as you say, it's one every fucking 10 games now.
Right, Ryan, as Robert touched on there, he said the word attitude. His attitude fucking stinks. He's just not interested. And then she says, if that guy flicked the switch to his head, he would. We could sell him for fucking £25 million. He's that good a player. But as Robert, I've totally agree with him that says one game is fucking unbelievable. Lazio away, I thought he was outstanding. Mm-hmm. Even though he scored the goal right to win us a game, but even before it, he was unbelievable. And then four or five games after it, fuck, where did Ncham go? Just didn't know. Robert's fucking bang on the money there. His fucking attitude is rank rotten. It's just know what you want. See if we could fucking switch his attitude. It'd be a fucking £25 million player, £30 million player, easy without even kicking a ball.
I think Robert would probably agree with that because some of the stuff when we first came in, I thought I've let my dad here. This guy's a fucking baller, man. It was a bit like Edward, you know. Everything's effortless. See even Edward's goal today, right? It was just, oh, fuck you, boom. It was so, and he just walked away like he'd done nothing. That's why I think I said to Robert last week, see when Edward walks about a park, I think he's going to pull a hammer all the time. He just looks, that's just the way he looks. He just looks, just need no get a care in the world. But we come back to today's game, you can see he's starting to get a bit of form now. And with Edward, I think he's probably going to be our next big player when it goes for money wise. But in charm, I agree with you, Jerry.
His attitude's not there. Now, I wish it was, because as I said, you guys have touched on, he's unbelievable on his day. Getting the ball in, tight areas, passing it, strength. Same as it's just a kind of French mentality, lackadaisical, but big Vieira just swans about the pitch. I mean, that's what he's like, Vieira. He just kind of swans about. And when he's good, but see when he's not interested, we was all starting with 10 men, you know what I mean? We was all saying, fuck it, just put him in. If you want to put him in the start lineup, we was all starting with 10 men. He's not interested, he's
doing off a fuck. You know what I mean? I think Robert's probably going to say the same, but aren't you, Robert? But his attitude and about the place.
You see when he's on his game, he's unplayable. There's nobody who can get near him on his game, but it's just no often enough, which is the most frustrating thing. And he is 23, 24, whatever age he is. I don't know, his next move, he's going to move for Celtic. I'd say that's 90% certainty in the summer. But I just hope the guy turns in and makes the most of his career for how good a talent he actually is and doesn't look back in it in 10 years' time and go, that was a fucking waste of space. I could have actually done something in my career and been an absolute fucking brilliant player and played at the highest level. We're not going to get the best out of him. That's my own opinion on that. I think he's been here too long and had that too easy a ride on it.
And then, obviously, we'll touch on the Rangers game a wee bit. I might get your thoughts, Jerry. Obviously, Barkas came out after the game today. Neil Warnock came out after the game, says Barkas will be the goalkeeper for Saturday. He's a number one, which I agree with him. I think he is. The guy you brought in to come in, as much as the boy Hazard's been brilliant. But I know Barkas hasn't been brilliant for us, but he's played in Champions League, he's played in a competitive league in Greece. I don't think he's a squab, I just think he's got to set a win. That's just my opinion, but obviously he'll play on Saturday, so what's your kind of thoughts on Saturday with the line-up and whatever else about Saturday's game?
But my start line-up for Saturday will be, see the one that finished today? That'll start. Because I don't know the extent of the injury, but Big Julian looks if he got a sore one, right? So, does Beaton start? And I don't know if you've seen the camera showing it to Beaton and Duffy.
I warm up. Together,
and it was if Lennon says, right, shh, Beaton. So that makes Big Duffy third in line, whatever it is, right? So, the lineup that finished today, Barkas and goals. I'll go Laxalt, left back, Aya, Beaton, and Frimpong. Your midfield four of Soro, McGregor, Tumbo, and Christie, and the two boys up front, Griffiths and Edward. Going back to Barkas, sorry. The first Old Firm game, I thought he was at fault for the first goal. I thought as if he kind of pied the ball into the goal, which basically I think he needs a big performance, and I hope it's fucking Saturday to give him the G's if they say, look, I'm better than whatever. I don't think he believes in himself. I don't think he believes he's a good goalkeeper. And if you're paying £5 million, I hope Celtic believe he's a good goalkeeper. But that's basically, I know they didn't finish the game, but that's what I meant was that's the team that I would pick. For Saturday, 100%.
Because I think definitely two up front, the way to go. Definitely.
Got to be.
And obviously, me and Robert have spoken about it. We know how Rangers play. It's a 4-3-3. If they change you up, I'd be surprised.
They won't.
They play as Tavernier and Warner Barish, it's the ball forward and they try, they push up and try and stop your wingers to get the ball to Davis. Boom. We know how to play it, so we'll hope that Lennon has learned for the last few games, because he's not learned for the last few games before the last Rangers game. So you're hoping we learn, because we know how we know as fans how we play, so you're kind of hoping we do turn the corner. And I do agree with what they were saying in the Super Scoreboard. They said it might be a bit of cat and mouse. They say it go, the Rangers go, they say it go. I think that might be, it could be a taste of game when it comes to goals, I know.
I believe that we need to go there and just go, let's have it, let's just go and see what you're made of. Because basically, we've got nothing to lose, right? If we lose this, it could be good night Vienna, right? We're hanging on with the fucking, we're hanging on with our teeth as we speak, right? So if we go there and we go, right, let's have it, let's see what you're made of, let's just go. And I hope, well, I hope, I know we'll get a positive result if we do it, because as Robert touched on earlier, we watched them with Hibs game, and I watched them the game before that as well. They're no great shakes, and that big Golson who walks about like Van Dijk, he's more like Van Donkey. He's fucking hopeless. He's slow into jail, and I think with two up front, which automatically makes you go, as Robert said earlier, nobody can go forward now. They get an easy ride it. Two defenders with one guy. So if we put two up front, you're going, right, hold on a minute. How do we do this? So that's what I think. We just go. Right? We need to take the game to them. We must, for the season's is fucking... Who's the referee? Do we know the referee yet?
Bobby Madden, I think.
Is it?
I think so.
For the first whistle for Bobby Madden, we need to go. For 12:30 Saturday, bang, let's go. Definitely.
With yourself, Robert, a wee brief kind of hang about Saturday. What's your wee intake about Saturday? Do you agree with Jerry on a few points?
I think Jerry's right. I think that's the team Lennon's going to go with. I feel we just need to play 10 yards higher up the park than we played the first game against them. But I think now we've got the energy in the midfield to do it. And I feel, I don't know if any of you have ever noticed it. See, if you look at Rangers, Gerrard pure copies his team on Liverpool. It's a pure carbon copy of Liverpool. They're never as good, but that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to pure... What Klopp does is pure tries to copy it down to a T. And if you've watched Liverpool, how to exploit Liverpool is high-pressing them. No saying this is just... Klopp obviously has got the weapons at his disposal to change games. But I watched Aston Villa playing them just because this is what Gerrard, when they have a clue about, and how high-pressing them and energy from midfield that we have now got, and how to exploit them at the back and don't let our wing-backs get forward. I know I'm going to Liverpool, but I think Gerrard just watches Klopp. He doesn't have a fucking plan B. He's not got a fucking clue how to manage his own self. People say, oh, he's brilliant, he's this, he's that. He signs a four-year deal when Klopp signs a four-year deal. Everything's just based on Liverpool. Probably goes to Klopp for his training regimes, everything. And Liverpool, obviously, a completely different breed for him. But I don't think Gerrard's got a brain in his head to think for himself. See Celtic, see just kick off what we've done the last time at Ibrox. Ping the ball into the corner.
Right.
They were all looking at each other. They did not have a fucking clue. So that's why they can't press you. They can't press you right for kicker. They're then defending for kicker right in their corner. And I think something like that again, put them right after the rhythm. They just ping it right into the corner and put them on the back foot and just fuck their heads. Totally fuck their heads right for kicker.
You're right. You're spot on, Robert. And obviously, there's no fans here. And obviously, if you get the flip of the coin, blah, 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 you know the fucking manky mob doing that end where we've got to sit now in that wee corner. See if we get that wee bit. We just say, fucking bag it right down there. And it just G's everybody up. That's a good point. Very, very good. I didn't think of that, but that's a good point. Right down that fucking corner flag. And then they've got to defend for 15 seconds out of the game.
Exactly. And you've got your team higher up the park.
Your centre backs are 40 yards for goal instead of 20 yards for goal. Everybody's up. Your goalkeepers can see.
Nobody's under pressure. They're under pressure.
Aye. Correct. Good point.
Gave the kick off the exact same tactic because you looked at them last time and they were baffled. Psychologically, we fucked him in the first 30 seconds.
Aye. You never had a fucking clue.
That's how I would go with it again, just right in, right away.
I agree with you, Robert, about Gerrard, because I've obviously, you hear on the radio and about Rangers fans, the guy Michael Beale takes all the tactics for that. It's not Gerrard. It's the guy Michael Beale who's supposed to be a fantastic coach. Obviously, I think he's at Liverpool, so Gerrard's not dealing with tactics. He's just dealing with the team. And he's, you know what I mean? So, as I agree with you when it comes to Liverpool and Klopp and Gerrard, four years up and he's got Liverpool.
That's two wing backs pushing high up the park. Everything comes through your wing backs. Your front three are high pressing. Your three midfield are like a fucking like a line. Just pass across that. Move across. What Liverpool do? Obviously, Liverpool are much quality players, better quality players. But in Daft Gerrard's seat, he thinks he's going down to take Liverpool Joe Bathcock when he retires. Yeah. So he's trying to carbon copy everything. So when he gets in, it's just a smooth transition and his staff cunt seat. You know what I mean?
Your two wing backs are Robertson and Trent, who he thinks is Barisic and fucking Trippier in the box. And then you've got fucking Jack, who thinks he's fucking Henderson. And then the top three, whoever they play, is fucking Sadio Mane, Salah, and Robert Firmino. So that is just easy, and then the rest all fit in. He's fucking bloodied. Think that, you're right. I watched the Liverpool game as they're speaking out in the background. And they can't break down fucking Newcastle.
But he just thinks that Klopp's been successful with that. That's how I'll do it. I'll just copy everything. But if you give him a different game plan, he will not have a plan B. He's not got a plan B. He's got he just watches Liverpool and copies everything Liverpool does.
Yeah.
Obviously, Liverpool are a completely different animal for fucking them. But that just shows you what he's trying to do. Exact same fucking thing.
Yeah.
He's probably no go to plan B. If we fucking suss that plan out, their plan A, then as you say, getting them on the back foot for the very first whistle and high pressing them in their area and everybody attacking for the midfield, pushing them right on, you'll not have an answer for us.
Because I'll go back to when I played football, we used that tactic quite a lot with Campsie, Cliffy,
where the game started.
Put that ball down there, right? What it does is it gives you gives your midfield. So you go up and you go right. So he's no for it. He doesn't want to do it. So I'll go tight with him. My centre forwards are 10 yards up, but it should be. Your defenders are up within the first 15 seconds of the game. So everybody's up for it. And there, as you say, they're in the back foot. They're like, fucking hell. How have I got? It feels as if there's 20 guys, but there's only 10. We're tapping him. It just feels suffocated. Right, Cuffy, you just put that ball in that, right in that corner, suffocate them in there, and then set it off. And even if the first 20 minutes doesn't go your way, but you put a marker down right away, bang, 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 just go at them for the get go. And as you say, Robert, they don't know what to do. Their heads are all they're turned. They don't know. Does it go left,
they'll
go right,
they'll
go forward,
they'll
go back,
they've
not got a clue.
Because he's probably setting up, see when they get the kick off, it's like they're going to knock it back to the midfield, and the midfield going to knock it back to the defence. That's every cunt get high pressing right in their faces, right throughout go. So he's trying to put pressure on you for the very kick off, and then you've just fucking flipped the coin and went, no, we're putting pressure under you for the kick off. And your back line's going, fuck sake, we thought we were going to be playing 15, 20 yards further forward.
Yeah.
It's a mind fuck, and sometimes just something like that can fucking make or break your game.
I definitely agree with you, the two of you, because you know yourself when you play football. Football is obviously about being good in the park and fitness bar, but see, football's obviously, you look back now, and football's an easy game to play when you actually look back at it. Maybe when I played myself, I made it hard myself, but when you look back now, football is easy when you do the right stuff. But we find like that when it is putting the ball long, or football can be a mind game. And if you get one of your opponent right away, as you say, put a marker down. If it is doing that in the corner, if it is getting an early shot and goal, if it is Brown plays or Sorrow, you hit somebody in the first 30 seconds, take a booting, but you're putting a fucking marker down. And I don't think we've not done that enough the last few weeks, all season, even in the last Rangers game. We were 2-0 and doing, but they cunt was fucking battle somebody.
Do you remember in the last Rangers game, Brian, they booked Brown after fucking 20 minutes or something? So practically.
Aye, so good,
yeah. Aye, so that was a sometimes the referees in a game like that, you need to watch because they want to put a marker down right away if somebody goes a bit fucking kicking crunch, and they'll put them right away, and then you're practically better just taking a guy straight off because you'll never be able to get into an R 50-50 challenge or never be able to miss time a challenge with a second or two. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't want any football player you hurt, but I mean, if it is one of the ones where it's 50-50, give him a wee fucking dunt, say I'm here. I'm going to lie, I hated it when I was a player. See, I was a wee guy out front. See, if I get a big centre-back and I give him an elbow, oh fuck. I'm in for a game today, and it does point your mind the full game. You're like, shit, did I go for this ball camp? Listen, people might not miss it, but football is a mind game as well. I agree with you too, about that, about the mind game. And the last game at Ibrox, we won 2-0 from Hayes, and Hayes scored in Edward when the ball in the corner. That was a genius for Edward. I think it was Edward said to Brown, put that in the corner. Wee things like that can help you. Obviously, the game yourselves, Jerry, what do you think? Though, obviously, positive result, but your predictions for the game?
I'll go 2-0. Same again as last time. But I do believe we will keep an arc clean sheet. And if we turn up, we'll win the game. Right? In my opinion, right, this is make or break. Right? This could go if we get beat. It's good night Vienna in my eyes, right? We're hanging on the new. But if we win on Saturday, they need to go to Pittodrie, pressure zone again. They're still in Europe. We play before them, which we've not done all year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to put the pressure on, the pressure on, the pressure on, the pressure on. And I think what we spoke about it earlier, every player the day walked up smiling. The confidence is fucking ripping right through us now. We've got options. We've got, as you call them, the old brigade come on. We've got the new guys. We've got, as I said earlier, Nussi, no kick the ball. And you've got Rogic and they've not got the options. So they've not had their injury yet. They've not had the COVID yet. So I believe if we win Saturday, we could go and just go get a steam train. But we must win, and I'll go for 2-0.
Obviously, sir, Robert, we'll touch on it again on Friday, but yeah, just off to a wee brief yank yourself.
I would. I'm hoping we win the game, right? 100%, but a draw is no a disaster in my eyes. Just for the full fact is, you don't want to lose the game because you've got a bit of momentum. A draw doesn't exactly kill your hopes. Doesn't make it brilliant. But as Jerry tiptoeing, they've got to go to Pittodrie, got to go to Firth Park, and they've got to go to Easter Road, and they've got Europe. And then we just keep building this momentum up. If we do get a result, beat them by 2-0, 2-1, absolutely brilliant. But a draw is no a disaster in my eyes, just because it was a long, hard season. They've no had COVID and they've barely had any injuries. And these things will come. And every bit of luck that's went their way could have went their way up to now. So you can't be lucky all season. And we've just built a lot of momentum in it and their team's playing well. So as I say, 2-0, 2-1, or even a draw, I'd take a draw. Just for the full fact is, a draw is no a disaster. It's no brilliant, but it's still, you're going there, you would take a draw before you went there. So just no getting beat in my eyes, but I'm confident enough for us to go and win. But that's just the safety net and the same draw.
I am kind of the same as you. I'm quietly confident. Obviously, in my head from what I read, if Venus they get a goal, I'm like, shit, how are we going to react? But I'm actually, the way we've been playing at, we've kind of went off the radar when it comes to your papers, your radio, your pundits as usual. We're kind of slipping again back up, and I think this could be the performance where it all clicks for us. I may just take this performance and we all click. Barkas, as Jerry says, has a stormer. Edward on his game with Griffiths, so I'll keep my predictions to the Friday, but I'm agreeing with you. I think we'll get a positive result. And I appreciate your time, boys. It's been brilliant chat to you. Better Everton, which has been brilliant. Thanks for your time, Robert. Jerry, thanks for your time, lads. And I'll see you again on the Celtic Now for our podcast. Thanks a lot, boys. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.